9 years ago, I think it was probably 9 years ago when I was on staff at Perimeter, Peter and Ilona Grayling, who we all know well, stopped by to see me and said, Ken, you have got to come to the European Leadership Forum. Perimeter needs to see that the work that they're doing is absolutely amazing. Now, when I talked this over with Perimeter, they said, you know how many requests we get like that every month? It's a lot. So they said, you go, see what's going on, come back and tell us. So I went on that trip, and that's when I first met Vesna Nesha Radeka, who will be talking to us today, and I was just absolutely blown away. Next year, I brought Tom Mullis and Bill Wood, who were equally impressed. And over time, we've gotten gradually more and more involved in ELF. It's very much the way that Perimeter does things. We think big, we start small, we go deep, and we develop relationships over time. So I think it was probably 7 years ago that I met Vesna Nesha, and I was just absolutely blown away. I'm going to just give you a quick introduction, and I'm going to ask them to come up, and I'll pray over them, and I'll get them started, because you know me and you don't know them. How many people, raise your hands if you could find Serbia on a map? All right, we got the obvious view. All right, very good. They're going to show you. They live in a country which, to say the least, is difficult. So when they explain things, keep in mind that when they share their heart, the challenges are probably 10 times greater than what they relate, at least 10 times. Their church plant, their, I'd say, half-life now, midlife, they have planted churches. Vesna has a heart for protecting the unborn, and she will tell you what that is like in Serbia, in all the countries of the former Yugoslavia, in Eastern Europe in general. So with that, will you guys come on up? Let me pray for you, and we'll get started. Father God, we just praise you, and we love you, and Lord, we thank you so much for Vesna Nesha and what you're doing in their hearts. Lord, we thank you for the European Leadership Forum and their key parts that they played over the years, the key parts of John Musselman and so many others. And Lord, even now for the event that's about to take place in, well, a short time now, maybe a month from now, Lord, we pray for the 800 Christian brothers and sisters that are going to be there. And Lord, we ask that you bless them richly. Lord, we pray that you protect them as they go through some harrowing times, even getting to the forum. So, Lord, we pray for a joyous time of fellowship, of equipping, of great, great teaching. And, Lord, we especially lift up Nesha and Vesna and their hearts for you, Lord, and how all they do is for your glory. And, Lord, we pray for the church plant. We pray for the Christian church in Serbia. And Lord, we lift up Vesna and everybody that's working diligently to save the lives of the unborn. And Lord, we pray that you bless our time together this morning. Lord, we pray that you give us wisdom, and we thank you for this opportunity to listen to Nesha and Vesna. And Lord, we pray all of these things in the perfect name of your Son. Amen.
Thank you, Ken. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. We are Nesha and Vesna, and we are a family of five. We just wanted to show you our little children. We are coming from Serbia, and Serbia is in Eastern Europe, and it's a central country of the region called Balkans. And Balkans is actually a Turkish, Balkan is actually a Turkish word, actually a word that consists of two Turkish words, so Bal and Khan. Bal stands for joy, celebration, dance, and Khan stands for blood, war, revenge. So whatever we do, Vesna and I, in last 25 years or so in the ministry, we try to make Serbia to be more Bal, to be more a country of dance, of celebration, of joy. And we know that it is only possible if people of Serbia turn their faces and see Jesus Christ and receive him as a Savior and Lord. So in the last 25 years, we spent our lives in a church planting ministry. In 1997, we were only 23. We went to Bosnia. That was only 2 years after terrible war there. And we planted a church from scratch. We went to Banja Luka, which is a city, second largest city in Bosnia. Sarajevo is the capital. There was no Christians at all. It's a city of 250,000 people. No Christians. So the first time in history, someone went there to preach the gospel, to preach the good news about Jesus Christ. So I was born in a Christian family. I grew up in a small brethren church. There was 25, 30 people there. It was very conservative, almost rigid, little church. And when I was 17, it was quite heavy on my shoulders to bury all those rules and regulations in the church. My father was really sincere in his religion. He was a communist, and he became a Christian, and he was really sincere about his faith and his practice. But to me, I was quite struggling. So at that time, I was lucky that about the time that I wanted to leave the church, to leave the family, to leave God, a couple from Canada, Serbians, they used to go to Canada for a better life. They spent their 12 years in Canada. They come back to Serbia because they couldn't be silent what God has done in their lives. So their son, a little baby, Philip, at that time, 1 year old, he had a cancer on both kidneys. And they were ready to give up on him. They were certain he's going to die. But there was only one chance. So that was Saturday evening, tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. They went in the front of church leaders. They put some oil on a little baby, Philip. They put their hands, they pray for him. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, they went to the hospital. And doctors don't come out for 1 hour, for 2 hours. More doctors are coming in. This is our family. This is Danilo, he's 20. David, he's 17. And little Anastasia is 5. She's somewhere around. She went to the... Yeah.
For a walk.
Okay. Yeah, so we are a family. We are a family of 5, and all our children are coming to the church. And Danilo is preaching in our church, and we praise God for that. This is Serbia, that little green spot over there. And you see the Italy. You see that booth on the left, and you probably know about Greece on the south. And Serbia is part of Serbia is on southeast Europe. And next slide will actually show us that Serbia was belonged to a country, a Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. It's a former Yugoslavia, and some of you might remember that country. It was a beautiful country, huge and at that time. It was 25 million people, and now there are 6 republics out of that big country, Yugoslavia. We passed through a terrible war, 5 or 6 different wars. So now we have Slovenia and Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, that's one country. You've got Serbia. Serbia is the largest. Montenegro, beautiful, small country with 500,000 people there. And Macedonia. And Greece is just on the south, as you can see. Belgrade is a capital. Belgrade was a capital of Yugoslavia, and Belgrade is a capital now of Serbia. 2.5 million people. 7.5 million people in Serbia, and less than 10,000 evangelical believers. You are more likely to bump into drug addicts on Serbian streets than to evangelical Christians. So ratio is 1 to 10. So 7.5 million, only 10,000 or less, 1,000 Christian believers. So in the city of Belgrade, less 2.5 million, less than 1,000 evangelical Christians. In Novi Sad, our city, we come from Novi Sad, it's the second largest. 500,000 people, less than 1,000 Christian believers. So when that couple came back, when I saw their passion for God, when I saw their passion for telling other people about Jesus, I said to myself, I started to follow them. Remember, I was disappointed with the church. It was heavy on my teenage shoulders to bury all those regulations. I said, well, I want to have that kind of life. I want to have that kind of relationship to God like Daniel used to have and still have. And I started to be passionate about God. I started to be passionate about Jesus. So we went to be missionaries, and since then we planted 6 churches, and I'll tell you a bit later about our last church plant that we planted in 2009. But I'll let Vesna speak and just to share a little bit about her testimony and about her ministry. That comes later.
It's okay. Good morning, everyone. My story is a little bit different than the story of my husband. So he grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a communist home, atheist completely. My grandfather fought in a Second World War against Nazis, but also for communism. So in our home, there was no trace of religion. I was almost an adult, like 19 years old, and I have never heard the name Jesus, and I have never heard, of course, the message of the gospel. It is hard for people in Serbia to become evangelical believers. There are a lot of pressures on them, and that's why we don't have many people in the churches. It is hard, as I wouldn't totally compare it to as how hard it is maybe for someone who is a Jew to become a Christian, but it is very hard to leave this kind of traditional Orthodox church and to join this fellowship that not many people are familiar at all. Not many people know that there is Protestantism at all. They know of Orthodox and Catholic belief, and you know the small groups of Protestant churches are not very well accepted in our society. They are seen as a cult. So when I became a believer, my parents were devastated. You know, they were so sad. They were so afraid. They threatened all the time. My mom went on a hunger strike if I continue going to the Bible studies. It was really interesting time in my life, but by the grace of God, with that little faith that I have, I was getting really more and more passionate about serving this wonderful Savior, and we quickly started doing church planting ministry all over our country and in Bosnia. I have to just tell you how our everyday looked like for 10 years and how we did our church plant is that we would visit every day. We had a list of 70 families, and we would visit every day 5 to 6 families with parcels of food or hygiene packs. It was a post-war situation in Bosnia, again crisis in Serbia when we continued our work in Serbia. So that was the way to reach people. We have used heavily humanitarian aid to help people, to show the love of Christ, and to reach them for Christ. And so that was our everyday work. 10 years, that's what we did. We would get up in the morning, pack, go to our storage room, pack our parcels of food and hygiene packs, and visit those people in their home, trying to win them for Christ.
Yeah, may I just interrupt you and say that at that time in the 90s, the beginning of 90s, the average Serbian salary, a monthly salary, was $10. $10. So we had money bills. How do you call these?
Paper money with 15 zeros.
Yeah, with 15 zeros at that time. So I remember when my father would get payment check at the end of his month, he would rush, because in the morning he would rush into the shop, and in the shop you could buy only sugar and oil. So he would buy 2 kilos of sugar, because in the evening, if he would come to the shop, he could buy only one. So that's how inflation was high and how it was...
So the prices changed in a day.
So, but during the day, food parcels that we were able to bring into people's homes were a value of some $25, and it was provided by generous people like you and brothers and sisters from England, Canada, Germany, and we all survived. And you can.
So all throughout our work, we've been helping poor people. And I want to say that that definition of poor people then at that time meant also doctors and teachers. Mm. We will also visit them in their homes and bringing parcels of food. And also with our ministry, we worked a lot with gypsy people. The correct term that we use in Europe is Roma people. But to make it clear, those are gypsy people. And we also have, at the moment, a church plant with gypsy people. So a lot of work has been done, but I want to tell you what has happened to me, one interesting calling to a ministry that I wasn't expected at all. I was team member of my husband for so many years, and this calling to the ministry of pregnancy care centers was for me unexpected at all. I was a believer for 10 years at that time, and I will try to explain the situation in our country and among Christians. I have never heard about issue of sanctity of human life in our country. No one has ever mentioned that. We were a communist country where abortion was very well socially accepted, and the numbers were huge. And we, I was surprised when I heard from, of course, outside of my country about pregnancy care centers. And I was very deeply touched. I had a little child in my arms, when I, for the first time, heard about the numbers of abortion in our country. I was definitely shocked. And as a Christian, I really thought I need to say something. Someone needs to be the voice. I was completely unprepared for the ministry in which God has called me. But I just want to say, and maybe next slide, can I just say next slide always? So I've started the first pregnancy care center in Serbia, and you can see here what is the ratio in our country. We have 150,000 abortions performed each year, and 65,000 babies are being born. So our vision is really to make an abortion an unthinkable option. So we want to raise awareness about the preciousness of a human being, that we are all image bearers, that we are created in the image of God, and to absolutely explain to every woman not just that fact, but about prenatal development and everything else, so that she wouldn't go even there, even if she has unplanned pregnancy and abortion is legal, that she wouldn't consider that option. That is our aim. Next slide, please. So here are some of the women that chose life in our offices. And in our country, because of the financial crisis, most of the women are choosing abortion for the financial reasons. They are poor, and they cannot take care of another woman. Of another child. So it is different than maybe in Western countries, because that is the number one reason for abortion. This woman with a stroller and children there, so she lives in 330 square feet, so six of them. And her husband wants to work, but there is no enough work. So you can be poor in Serbia even if you want to work hard. Next slide, please. So we try to speak wherever we can on the issue of sanctity of human life. We speak on the camps, in small Bible schools. We organize debate. Next slide. We also go to public schools, to Roma communities, TV stations, all the conferences. We would always have a stand to open this issue in our country, and not just in country of Serbia, but in all the region, because it is unheard of. If you can try to imagine your country with no pro-life organization, there is no one who is voice. There is no one who is writing articles, intelligent articles against all this that is coming our way. Especially we in Europe are bombed with European laws, and our country needs to fit our laws with the laws of European Union. Those laws are not good for us. Next slide, please. So I just want to say that I felt very lonely starting this ministry in our country. Very lonely. I felt that not even my brothers and sisters in Christ are not understanding what is this ministry is and what our dreams are. And I have to say that Forum played a fantastic role. As Ken has explained, leaders are coming from all over Europe, and this is where for the first time I could meet other people who are involved in similar ministry, and where I can get teaching, where I can get understanding, encouragement. I could whine a little bit to them about, you know, all the obstacles that we had. Because, you know, some of the obstacles were like, okay, we went out of the communism, but we still had a communist law. You know, even to register an organization that is non-profit, how do you call it, like a civil society organizations. We didn't have developed network of civil society organizations. Even to register was an obstacle, because all the laws were like, you are registering a non-profit, but all the articles of the law are very communist. Well, you know, it's all kinds of obstacles we had. Among that, no finances, loneliness, lack of support. So when we gather there at the forum as leaders, I learned there is a similar ministry an hour away from me in Timișoara in Romania. And my husband and I, we went to the car and immediately visited this. It's another country, but they are doing similar, and it was an encouragement to go and learn from them. So wonderful connection point. That is where we realize that we can go further in our ministry. So we started a small home, maternity home, that was really, if I can explain it in this way, we prayed for that for a long time, but we never had it in our budget, enough funds to start it. But when this woman, we met her, and I hope that we will be able to see a video of her story just in a second. When she came to us, we realized very, you know, during her pregnancy that she really doesn't have where to go, and we really didn't have where to place her. Again, I want to say, why is that? We live in multi-generational family. How can I say? Homes. You know, especially because of the war and economical sanctions and all that, the whole generation doesn't have their own homes. We live with our parents or with our in-laws. So even if I'm passionate to help this woman with all my heart, I don't have where to place her in my own home, and I didn't know anyone else who can have her. So we had 100 euros, which is 100 and or $20. So we rented, you know, a studio for her. And that was the beginning of our maternity home. You know, we were just trusting God that he will find, that he will give us next month again a rent and bills and food for this lady. This is a story from, this is the picture from a maternity hospital. And what you don't see in the picture is that there are a lot of moms coming out of the hospital, and they are greeted by their family members, children, husbands, and it's always for us a little bit heavy, and on this woman to come out of the maternity hospital and not being greeted by anyone from their family or partner, but just us, who at that point maybe we are still strangers, but through the adventure of sharing life with them, we become friends and sisters. And those are all, you know, connections for the whole life. If we can see the video now, it's a 3 minutes and 10 seconds.
Moje ime je Kosara i ja sam već 8 mjeseci u materinskom domu centra Izabere život. Moje djetinjstvo nije bilo lako, niti kasnije život. Brak sam ušla da bih pobegla od loše porodične situacije, ali se i on završio kada sam sa detetom od 2 godine morala da se sklonim u sigurnu žensku kuću zbog nasilja u porodici. Posle toga je usledila borba za život. U Srbiji je život težak za većinu ljudi i nezaposlenost je veoma visoka. Radila sam privremene poslove i uglavnom živela u siromaštvu. Želila sam da stvorim porodicu i stabilan život i počela sam da živim sa jednim čovekom. Ali kada sam mu saopštila da sam u drugom stanu, izbacio me iz stana. Bio je januar, bilo je tako hladno. A ja sam bila na ulici, trudna i sa detetom od 6 godina. Pokušavala sam da nađem krov nad glavom. Moja najbliža porodica nije učinila baš ništa da mi pomogne. Oslanjala sam se tada na mali broj prijatelja, ali njihovo gostoprimstvo je kratko trajalo. U to vrijeme sam stupila u kontakt sa Izabere život. Oni su bili prepuni saosjećanja i ohrabrivali su me. Pratili su šta mi se dešava i kupovali mi hranu. Kada sam bila u 7. mjesecu trudnoće, bilo je jasno da ja više nemam kud i tada sam primljena u materinski dom. Ne mogu da opišem koji je to osjećaj kada se neko pobrine za tebe kada si u tako ranjivoj situaciji. Vesna mi je rekla da ih je na ovaj rad motivisala Hristova zapovest ljubi bližnjega svoga i da ona želi meni, kao što bi želila i sebi, da iskusi mir i blagostanje dok se pripremam za porođaj. 19. septembra sam rodila ćerku, zove se Jelena. Mnogo sam srećna i uživam u svakom danu uz moje 2 ćerkice. Zahvalna sam za sve što su učinili za mene, jer su uticali na svaki aspekt moga života. Odlazim u crkvu, učim o roditeljstvu, a čak su uključili psihologa da mi pomogne da bi razrešila neke stvari iz prošlosti. Moj život sada izgleda drugačije, ima mnogo više nade za budućnost. Zahvalna sam Bogu što postoji Izabere život, jer su potrebe zaista velike. U našem velikom gradu ima mnogo žena koje su u sličnoj situaciji u kojoj sam ja bila. Kad bismo barem mogli svima da pomognemo.
There are more stories there, but we don't have enough time. This is another lady. And next slide, please. I want to say that many of the moms that we have served have become my personal heroes. They are in such a vulnerable situation with unplanned pregnancy. Many of them have worked for many years, but not as registered workers. That's very common in Serbia. They can work for 10 years as not registered workers. And then when they are pregnant, they have no protection, of like no paycheck while they are with a small baby. And the help from the state, if you can imagine, in a country that is dealing with financial crisis still, it is very low help from the state. With the help from the state, a woman can only rent one room, and that's it. She cannot pay bills, she cannot buy food, she cannot buy diapers. It is quite a desperate situation for all the women that we serve. So I want to say also about Maternity Hope and to thank you about Maternity Home, because actually in the last two years, I'm sorry for my English, we are partnering with Perimeter Church, and actually it is supported through Perimeter Church, our home for moms. Mm. So it is a wonderful project, and I mean, I'm very grateful, because for me then it's a much less, I'm responsible also for the work of the Pregnancy Resource Center and Help Center, but then it is wonderful to be helped in that way, and financially our maternity home is functioning without no problems. Our moms have all that they need thanks to Perimeter Church. Mm-hmm. So these are, can you go back? These are moms that are at the moment there, so as we speak. Both of them are 21 years old, and these are the two babies that we are carrying now, and the one on the left has also a almost 4-year-old daughter. So she had a child when she was 17. We want to bless them in any way that is possible. Like, look at this beautiful smile. That is after dentist work smile, because she didn't have teeth, you know. So what a wonderful it is to see her smile, because she was covering her mouth all the time when we met her. And the second girl, she only has 5 grades of school. So, you know, I took her by my hand and we went to the school for adults. And now she will finish school through different courses. They will make it easier than to go regularly. They don't have that program. Next slide, please. And okay, so this is a daily life. I just want to say that we have education all the time with our moms. We teach them how to do their own budgeting with the small money that they have. We teach their children to love education. As the previous speaker from Tanzania said, how important are the early beginnings. So we want to teach children on very, you know, when they are small, to love education and to make good foundation. And most of the moms, we need to teach them how to cook, and so it's very interesting over there. I was very ambitious. I had at 1.3 times per week Bible studies. That was a little bit too ambitious. So now we are having twice a week. And the next slide is that we are thinking about giving this mom some work. So we are paying for sewing classes, and we teach them, they can create some of the products that can be sold. And the mother of this mom on the right, she's really having developed on Facebook page a business now. She would buy a simple towel, but she would, you know, put a different kind of applications and names, and so people are ordering from her. And she can provide for her 4 children. So she has 4 children under 8 years. And the next slide, and I think, I'm close to come to an end and to leave my husband a little bit more space. I am passionate about this ministry, you can tell. What is wonderful is how the Lord opens the door. You know, I felt, as I have already shared, very lonely in starting all this. And I don't know if you have ever seen a leadership video on leadership, how the movements start. And I will try to explain. It's a nice day for picnic, and people are sitting on the grass, and one man starts to dance. And everybody's looking at him like, ooh, he's not really... something is wrong with this man. That's how I felt for 2 or 3 years. And actually, this video shows that someone is joining him after a while. So now 2 people are dancing, and that person doesn't look that crazy anymore. So you have met when I was here 2 years ago, maybe you remember, but we were just part of your Easter service 2 years ago. I was here with my colleague, also with the same name, Vesna. And when she started dancing with me, it started to be much more interesting. And then when others join, then we have the beginnings of a movement. And why I'm saying movement, because it's happening in the whole region. I was able to speak in one regional conference for women where there are women from Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia, Macedonia, Serbia, and God opened the door others to hear about this wonderful ministry. So other women are starting centers. So there is a center in Slovenia now, 2 centers in Bosnia, Choose Life Center in Croatia, Lydia Center in Macedonia, and it's really beautiful how God has opened the door for this movement to be to grow. And it is for me a privilege to be, you know, in a way, a few steps in front of them and to teach them, encourage them, and help in any way I can. And the next slide is that we are also starting another center in Serbia in the town of Niš. And all this is very exciting. It starts very small. I like what I heard. I didn't know that that's some kind of motto, but I like, you know, think big, start small, go deep. Mm. So this is a small start, but behind that there is a big dream. And so that will be another center in Serbia. And again, what a wonderful opportunity for me, for us, is to be here, and thank you in person for supporting our maternity home. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Vesna. But I was dancing with you, remember? Yeah, we were going to dance classes like.
Oh, yes.
So we know how to dance salsa, bachata, cha cha cha, but we are not going to play today. Maybe later. Yeah, anyway, so Vesna didn't mention that actually she did mention that it was the first ever crisis pregnancy center established in Serbia, in our city. But actually it was the first crisis pregnancy center started in the former Yugoslavia. So since then, the vision was in each country of former Yugoslavia to plant one center. And now we got centers in Slovenia.
I already said that.
You did?
I can just say that
we
miss at the moment Montenegro. So yeah, that's the only country in the ex-Yugoslavia that we don't have a center yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, well, you can see our passion for pro-life ministry. So when it comes to our ministry, since its beginnings, it's a threefold ministry. So we are passionate about church planting churches in Serbia and other Balkan countries. We are passionate about helping poor people, and that's actually how we started all our churches, as Vesna said. All 6, just taking food parcels, going to people's homes. They are very hospitable. They invite us into their homes, serve us coffee and a brandy. That's a custom. in Serbia, and then we become friends, and then we share the gospel, invite them for a Bible study or start a Bible study in their homes, and that's how we started all our churches. So the last church plant we started in October 2009, and I was at that time I was against church buildings and budgets and all of that. I just wanted to build a body of Christ, so I would meet with people in a cafes, with young people, 5 or 6 meetings almost every day with young people, and that's how we started this church. But then it happened that the land was given to the church by one generous Serbian couple, which is, I think, the first time in Serbia ever that someone is able to just give it to the church. They gave us that little piece of land on the corner, and we started building a church. So it is. We cannot do it by ourselves. Our people are very generous, and we've got some amazing stories of their generosity. From little they have, they give much more than 10%. I can tell you because we can see the budget, and I know how much they give. But when we started building a church, I was eager as a leader to finish it quickly. But then God told us, hey, Nesha, you are going to get there sooner or later. You are going to reach the goal. But then we realized that the next slide says, it is not about destination, it is about journey. And God told me, Nesha, is much more important who you become and who your church becomes in the process of reaching the goal than to reach the goal. And in the beginning, I wanted to cover and I prayed all those silly prayers. Like I would pray for to find a suitcase full of money just around the corner and nobody claims it his. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen yet. Maybe we can find it here in the States. I don't know how about that. And then I started to pray. There was another silly prayer. And Vesna tried to discourage me to pray that prayer. But I there was like a I bought a lottery ticket. There was like a big reward at that time. It was a 1.5 million euros, which is around 2 million of US dollars. And I bought a ticket. I put it on my table and I put my hand on it and I prayed, you know, for money to, and I promised to God that we are going to give 90% to the kingdom and just 10% for us. It didn't happen. But I just wanted to cover that part. I just wanted to give God a chance to intervene in some miraculous way. But what happened actually, like last summer, we've got more than five stories of how God provided, and it was like in a history of famous missionary German, George Miller. He was planting orphanages. And he never asked for finances. He would just pray to God, and sometimes he would find food in front of the door of his house.
For orphans.
So, I'll tell you just one story. So, each Sunday we have a church service. Our people tithe whatever we have. We invest into the church building. And it happened one day that we ran out of money. And we've got three workers that work there every day. So they are basically putting, you call it drywalls. We say gypsum panels. Drywalls. So one drywall is around 7 US dollars. So our people are giving and they are signing. You will see later the photo of them signing those drywalls and putting their names and favorite verses. And they started calling me. I'm finishing soon. They started calling me workers on the phone and they say, hey, Nesha, please tell us if we need to find another job or shall we work tomorrow? What's going on? And I was like, okay, give me 2 more hours and I'll get back to you. So they call me later again. Hey, please let us know. We've got some other opportunities. And so I called my board member and I said, hey, Roger, we ran out of money. What do you suggest? He said, oh, well, it must be some money in our budget. I said, no, I just talked to our treasurer. And he said, well, I think that there must be, let me call her, and I'll get back to you, Nesha, in 5 minutes. So he calls me back in 5 minutes. And he was like, Nesha, you wouldn't believe what just happened. I said, what? He said, someone rang on my door. And he lives in on a fifth floor on a building apartment. And the guy says, "Hey, Roger, please come down." And Roger says, no, you come up. Let's have a coffee. I've got some time." He said, no, Roger, please come down. I'm in a hurry. I just want to talk to you shortly, quickly." So Roger comes down, and there was a guy from another church. And he said, "Yesterday I've seen some. I saw some photos on Facebook page or Nesha's Facebook profile that Nesha posted about the church building, how you build a church. I was so touched. I started to cry, and God told me, go and give the money, give your tithe to these guys. So here it is." So he puts like a 2 months average salary in Serbia, 2 months of his work. And, you know, it happens in the States often, I guess. But in Serbia, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. First, he's a guy from another church. And we were not, as far as I know, in a favor of, in his eyes. He probably didn't like how we do the church at that time. That's what he told me later, because we are really good friends now. And he's helping us with the church, not just financially. He's also he knows a lot about the law. So that's one miracle how God provided. And we've got more. And I'll stop here because our time is running. But I could go on and on and on. And like last summer, just next summer, this is our worship leader. We moved in because in the winter time, we rent a high school because there is no electricity, there is no heating and cooling. But in the summertime, we can be there. There is a natural daylight. We don't need we don't need cooling, we don't need heating, so we move there. We don't have to spend money for renting a place. So whatever we put in place and on our plate, we just invest into the church building. You see just the plain walls, and then next slide shows the story of people line up to sign to put their names and favorite Bible verses on a drywall. So that all of us, you know, we... Yeah.
So when we come back home after renting the whole winter, in May, we are going back to the construction building. We will have services there. And Sunday school. I pray all the protection possible over children and everything. But it is really an adventure to be in an unfinished building and to have services there. I will just... read prayer needs, and thank you for wanting to support through prayer our work in Serbia. So these are our prayers. Pray for revival and establishing of loving, sound, growing, and courageous churches. Pray for God to anoint many full-time church workers and laymen and women to preach and live the true gospel in Serbia. Pray for raising awareness about sanctity of human life and for changing the culture of death to culture of life and for the development of pro-life organizations. Pray for Nexus Evangelical Church, that is our church, for building the body of Christ and for the church building project. And please pray for our family as we serve in this part of the world. We ask for courage, endurance, and wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, this is working. Wow. This is just an amazing story. And it is one of courage and grace. And I have to borrow this image from Wailene because it's her thought, not mine. If she wasn't here, I might not have given her credit, but she's here. But her vision is God created Nesha, and then God created Vesna, and then he whispered, "Meant to be." And by meant to be, it's their love for Christ, their love for the kingdom, their family, their church, their Choose Life Center. It's an amazing ministry. On the Harvester's website, their entire presentation will be on there, and their prayer request. I've already seen some people with their Apple or Samsung cameras taking pictures. Please be in prayer for them. Serbia, the former Yugoslavian countries, are very difficult. You've got a sheet about your ministries in the back with contact, so please, if you're interested, pick one up. I'm sorry they're not in the back. Fritz has them. So this table right over here will we'll be here for a few minutes after the service. Just one other note, Wayne Haskins mentioned to me that our team in Tanzania is having difficulty in getting into the country with their medical supplies. So I don't know the details, but please be in prayer for that team that they get in there and are able to accomplish their goals. So let me close this in prayer. Father God, we, again, just praise you and love you. And Lord, we thank you so much for Vesna and Nation, all that you're doing in Serbia. And Lord, we do ask that you give them courage, that you continue to give them your grace. We pray for endurance, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the time that we have with them here. For those of us that are going to spend time with them in Wisła, Poland, we thank you for that also. And Lord, we lift them up, and we ask for all of this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.